about a subject that I've had a good deal of difficulty with over the years, and then difficulty in grasping, I guess maybe all of us being humans and particularly being Western, have this desire to be able to compartmentalize, define, and understand things. And in so doing, we frequently run into a little difficulty. But the concept, and I shouldn't say concept, because it's really much more than a concept, what I wanted to talk to you about today is faith. Now, faith is something that's reasonably hard to define, workable definition. The scriptures give us a definition in Hebrews. The Apostle Paul defined faith as being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's fairly short, concise, but not particularly helpful on first blush. The substance of things hoped for. Well, is faith merely a hope? I think not. I think faith is much more than just a hope. You'll note that in the definition he says the substance of things. The substance is defined, or at least is interpreted in other interpretations. I'm reading, or the definition I read was from the New King James. It's interpreted also as assurance of things. So when we talk about the substance of things hoped for, we're actually talking about a belief, and maybe even more particularly the essence of the belief. We're also talking about confidence. Because hope is kind of an illusory thing. We can all hope for things, and hope is not necessarily rooted in anything. We all, you know, as we pull up to the drive-thru, we hope the food's hot. We get up in the morning, we hope the sun's shining, it's not going to rain. So hope really covers quite a wide range of things. But when hope is supported by and is based in an assurance and a confidence, then I think we're getting closer to a definition of faith. The second part of the definition is the evidence of things not seen. Now, when we have a belief, when we have a conviction, when we have an assurance, we generally base that upon something. We generally have something to which we can attach that. And I think that the definition speaks directly to that, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's nice, except for the fact is that we probably would like something concrete. We'd like something that we could see, we could define. But the scripture says it's the evidence of things not seen. So when we talk about faith, we're talking about a belief, but we're talking about more than just, say, a subjective attitude or a thought. We're talking about a conviction, and it's a conviction that has been tested by and has been proven by experience. But this experience is generally through things not seen, even though they may manifest themselves in things that we have seen, things that we live through in our daily life. Now, with that definition, we probably might say, well, that's very nice, but that really doesn't give me a lot to work with. Give me an example. Because examples are also something that we all learn to learn by and certainly depend upon. In Hebrews, the Apostle Paul provides us multiple examples, but I'd like to refer to just a couple. And the first is found in Hebrews 11:8, if you wish to follow along. And it's about the faith of Abraham. And reading from that, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. So Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, I want you to go to this place. Pack up from where you are, where you live, where you're comfortable, those things you know, and go. And didn't tell him right away where he was going. But Abraham had faith. Abraham said, well, even though I don't understand, or maybe I don't know exactly what it is that you have in store for me, I will go as you say. The chapter continues, says, by faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. See, we have that promise, and that's very important. Whenever we talk about faith and we talk about the evidence of things not seen, I think one of the definitions, one of the examples we can place in that is promise, the promise of God. When you look in the Bible, I think if you were to try to describe the Bible, you could probably accurately say it is a book of promises. It is God's promises. Now, those promises may not always be clear, and they may not always seem to us to be attainable, or maybe even what we would want. But nonetheless, God's promises are there. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Very important. Because as we recall, Abraham was very old. He was, at the point in time, probably older than in this age we would expect to live. He was past the point of procreation. Sarah, his wife, was also old. Some of the scriptures read about a barren womb. She was past the point in her life where she was going to have children. But God promised Abraham and said, I will give you heirs. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the skies, as the sands in the beach. And Abraham, maybe at that point, if he were a logical man, if he were basing his beliefs solely upon his knowledge, the world's knowledge, he would say, well, wait a second. That's just not possible. You know, I'm an old man. My wife is old. We're not going to have children. You're asking me to move from a place I know, from where I live. You're asking me to go someplace I don't know, a foreign land. And you're promising me that it shall be mine and that I shall have these many descendants. And Abraham could have quite understandably have said, thanks a lot, but no thanks. But he did not. He had faith. He had a belief. He had a belief in the substance of things hoped for, God's promise, and he had a conviction. He had in his heart the knowledge that he who had promised would be faithful. And therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born as many as the stars of heaven, as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Another example that is provided in Hebrews is the faith of Moses. We're still in chapter 11, verse 23. Apostle Paul writes, by faith Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Because as you recall, king's edict at that point was to kill the male children. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as he thought. He saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover in the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. There's a common thread in here. Again, we're faced with situations that if just given the knowledge of the world, the expectations of the world, we would have a request that would be something that people would, I think, say, well, wait a second, that is just not something I can do. But when we talk about faith, we're not talking about our knowledge. We're not talking about our means. We're not talking about what we're capable of. We're talking about what God is capable of doing. Why is it important that we have faith? Why is it necessary to have faith? If you look in Hebrews 11:6, there's a small passage which I think answers that question. And it reads, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I think we're getting to the true basis for faith when we talk about this. Because we're talking about the need to please God. Faith is available so that we, imperfect, limited people, can join in the promise of God and we can please the Lord. We are flesh and blood. We live in the world. Even though we are surrounded by all of the wonders that God has created, we all know very well that those are temporary and that those will all pass. But if we have faith, we also recognize that God is eternal. God is not corporeal in our sense. God is not physical. He cannot be seen by the mortal eye. God is spiritual. God is eternal. We will die. The Lord will be forever. And God's word is eternal. So in order to have faith, we must believe that God exists. He is the substance of the things that we hope for. And we must also believe that He rewards those who seek Him, that there will be evidence of things not seen. I'm jumping around a little bit in the scripture today, because when I was putting this together, I found that the best way to explain this, or at least to present it to you for your consideration, was to refer to the scripture. If we go to Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25, it talks about the promise of God. Thus, for the promise that he would inherit the world, talking about Abraham, did not come to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So what they're saying is that it wasn't an issue of the law, it wasn't what had been written, it was a question of faith. For if the adherents of the law are to be the heirs, then faith is null and the promise is void. But the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there no violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, in the presence of the Lord in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, talking about Abraham, he believed he would become the father of many nations according to what was said. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, and when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's a very, very strong, very moving passage. But he finishes it up by saying that therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's a very important lesson there. Righteousness is also one of those elusive concepts, and again, I shouldn't say concept because that's a very limiting phrase, and I will leave that for another day. But through Abraham's faith, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So when we talk about a definition of faith, we're talking about a conviction. We're talking about a belief in God. We're talking about, as been examples in the Bible in our own life, that we're hoping against hope. That faith is not weakened by what we see or by the limitations that we find either in ourselves or around us. That faith tells us that God's promises are real and that he who is faithful, he who has promised, is faithful. So maybe a definition of faith might be is being fully convinced that God is able to do that which he has promised. The Bible says that Abraham grew strong when he gave glory to God. And because he believed when all the evidence was to the contrary, he exhibited faith and was to him reckoned righteousness. When we talk about the reason for faith, as I had spoken earlier, we talked about approaching God, believing he is, but additionally, believing that he rewards those who seek him out. Well, what is God's reward? I think that's really different with each one of us. We've seen in the Bible examples with Moses. We've seen examples with Abraham. We could open the Bible literally at any point, just blindly, and find God's reward, his promise. But I would suggest to you that faith is the way to righteousness. That faith is the means by which God's promises are realized. And that through faith, we are justified and find peace with God. Well, now that we've got a little bit of a definition, how do we find faith? And how do we nourish faith? Well, of course, we believe that God exists, and we seek him out. But the scriptures also provide us some help here. In Romans 10:17, it says the following. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is clear that faith is available through God. It is not our creation. That it comes from hearing, and hearing coming from the Word of God. So if we believe, we seek. If we believe there is a God, we seek Him. And if we seek Him, we are convinced that He is and that He will reward us. And in order to seek Him, we must follow His Word. And the reason why I bring that up is because faith is really more than just a belief. Faith requires action, and faith requires fidelity. If we are to be faithful, if we are to exhibit the faith that we get from God, that we receive from God, we must act upon it, and we must follow His Word. Not enough that we just be confident, as we all should be, that the Lord is there and that the Lord will provide for us. I would like to end this with one more small portion of Scripture. And it's something that has often run through my mind. We have it posted over in the fellowship hall. And on those days whenever faith may be waning and circumstances may be such that you find yourself saying, well, I just don't know if I can do this or if this is what it is that I am here for. I think of this passage, and I would commend it to you. It's in Romans 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that tells me that if I have faith, that if I believe in God, that if I seek God, that if I follow His Word, if I seek to have fidelity with His Word, that His promise will be received, that I will receive His reward for that, that it is available for all of us, and the means by which we obtain that is faith. We could pray, please. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You have instructed us, that You have deemed us to be important enough for You to love. We ask, Father, that You build within each of us a faith that is strong, that will not fail, that will not be discouraged, that You build within us a desire to read Your Word, to worship You, and to live by Your Word. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.